Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. Right at Home with Rich, broadcasting from the Aqua System Studio on 97.1 FM Talk, is sponsored by the Missouri Athletic Club.
All right, good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for joining me in my home right here at Right at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and boy, we got a lot going on today. Got a guest with me. Got some other remodeling tips and information we can go over if we have time. Also, would love to touch on some of these ideas with you and hear your questions, your thoughts, anything you've been through. Love to hear what you've got going for us. So we've got a lot of information today, but love to hear what you've got going too. And love to hear, you know, just your input on any of this, and maybe call in and have a conversation with us. So the number you need, 314-241-9797. You can also still ask me any of your remodeling, home improvement questions, anything you got going on around the house you want to know about. I'll be here for you today. Again, 314-241-9797. If you're far away, 866-455-9797. And every week, halfway through the show, I'll have my Right at Home hack. You are going to want to stay tuned for this one. I've got some cleaning stuff for you that you are going to want to learn about, things that you need to look for and think about cleaning. So great information on the hack today. And I want to just kind of remind everybody, in the upcoming weeks, keep your eyes out on my social media for some upcoming questions, polls, giveaways. We're going to be doing some things on all of my social media probably in about the next month. So you can find me on Twitter at Rich Orris, very simple, or Facebook, just search Mosby Rich Orris, O-R-I-S. Take you right to my Mosby Facebook page, and a lot of information and all my hacks are posted on there. And you can get the links in Twitter to get to my hacks. So every week you can go back, look at them, find all that information. Hopefully it's a lot of great information for everybody. But for the next hour, again, get your advice, anything remodeling, home improvement that you need, or just weigh in on some of the great tips or great conversations, you know, that we're having today. Love to hear from you. Again, 314-241-9797. Give us a shout. And today, so I have a special guest with me from the Missouri Athletic Club. I've got Skip Bowders with me. He is the facilities manager of their buildings out there in that MAC social club. So I want to introduce Skip for us here. How you doing today, Skip?
I'm doing well, Rich. Thanks for having me out this morning, afternoon.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you coming out. And I think really, you know, with what you do for the MAC, we're going to have a lot that we can talk about with the new buildings, the old buildings, maintaining maintenance. This is a lot of stuff that we do here at Mosby that homeowners need to do, that businesses, everybody needs to do. Very important stuff. So we can go through a lot of that stuff, and kind of similar to like a Mosby Building Arts project manager is kind of, you know, what sounds like what you're doing over there for them. So maybe start out. You want to just Skip, just kind of tell everybody exactly what does that position mean over at the MAC, and what are you doing, you know, to take care of those buildings?
Certainly. As a facility manager, my primary function is to keep our buildings safe, energy efficient, clean, and organized.
Okay, yeah. So exactly sort of like, you know, when I'm going out and I'm talking to homeowners and I'm, you know, looking at their house, a lot of times we're looking at, even if it's like a kitchen, we'll look at more of the home, we'll look at other things, we'll talk about, you know, what's in store for the home, and is there anything else, you know, out there, and kind of I'm always touching on maintenance with everybody because it is such an important feature to a building or a home or a facility or anything. Of, you know, you can remodel and that's great, but if you don't maintain, you know, I think that's a big no-no. And, you know, for residential homeowners, yeah, you lose value in your home. Well, for you guys, I'm sure you not only can lose value in that building, but it ends up making, you know, stuff down the road and making changes and remodeling the facility and changes to the facility just more expensive down the road if you haven't, you know, maintained everything, you know, as you go along. So you guys are probably pretty busy keeping up, and we were kind of talking before, so you've got an outside project you're looking at doing downtown?
Yeah, I do, but before we go to that, you were mentioning a project and maintenance, and When we take on a project of redoing an area, one of the first considerations we look at is how is this going to affect the maintenance, the wear and tear, how long is this going to last, what's it going to take to keep it clean, so on and so forth. So a lot of time and effort's put into the selection of products that is placed in or that we use with our redos. For instance, paint tones and sheens and so on and so forth, because as you know, if you go through a home and paint with the wrong paints possibly and the owner can't clean it, then that's problematic to you. You don't have a happy customer. So, or if you install carpet that's not easily cleanable or it's very cumbersome to clean, again, that's not going to make a happy client of yours. So we look at that very, very extensively when we start a redo. As you mentioned, we talked earlier, and one of the most exciting things that's coming up in our near future is in March, we're embarking on a restoration of our 4th Street and Washington Street elevations from the roof down to the ground. The exterior is primarily, well, it is brick and limestone.
That's a lot of elevation there.
Lot of elevation. It's a lot of time and effort. We're anticipating being on that project cleaning from March till the end of September. So that's a lot of setting up scaffolding, a lot of protection, a lot of cleaning up issues that have been ongoing for numbers of years, restoration of wood, so on and so forth. So it's going to be a very exciting project. It's going to clean up the building. And, you know, it's something that myself and my general manager, Wally Smith, have wanted to do. And we've been given an opportunity through a grant from one of our members, as well as the membership of the Preservation Society. They're pulling together to raise the funds to get this
done. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a very old. It's one of the oldest historic buildings downtown that they say is actually still used as its original purpose
that it was
built for. Yeah,
yes.
Which is, you know, that's amazing in itself. So, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that really look forward to keeping this nice and the way it is, and the historic value and all of that is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we're going to jump into our first break here. But, you know, when we get back, I want to touch a little more on that, you know, picking products and maintenance, because that's stuff that we do all the time with our clients, and thinking about that, you know, cost of a project later on. So stay tuned and feel free to join in the conversation. Give us a call, 314-241-9797. All right, we are back and having a great conversation. One thing I love to talk about, and it's great with you, Skip, is that, you know, the older buildings, Mosby, we do a lot of, you know, we're right out of Kirkwood. We do a lot of Kirkwood, Glendale City, a lot of older buildings. We're pretty knowledgeable on the residential end, you know, of those older buildings. But, you know, something that we were talking about was that kind of like future maintenance thing. When you're thinking about a project and you're thinking about, you know, all right, we're going to put in a new floor, and you think, what does it cost to maintain this floor? How often do I have to clean it? How often? And this is what, you know, we try and help advise and do for our clients, you know, at Mosby Building Arts, is we're, you know, looking at either a whole house remodel or just a bathroom or just a kitchen. And I get, you know, these advice questions all the time, you know, of, well, what's the best floor, or what's going to, you know, and really it, for us, it's more about advising and weighing the pros and cons and letting people know, because, you know, you guys will probably always pick, well, let's pick what's going to cost us the least down the road, even if we pay a little bit more now, because you're going to shell that out an hour later. You know, and that's what a lot of homeowners, unfortunately, if they don't get good advice, they're not going to understand that. So like painting, like you were talking about, Skip, if you get a cheaper price painting the inside of your kitchen or bathroom as this job's remodel's going on or whatever, but they use a cheaper, chalkier paint and it doesn't clean well, and then you get a scrape on the wall or something, so you go to touch it up, and it doesn't touch up well because it's a really cheap paint. You know, you saved money on your project, but, you know, like you were saying, now it's a year later and you're repainting half the room or something because you're like, right. Oh man, that looks horrible.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, looking at it from your guys' aspect, more of a business of, we need to do this because we got to maintain a budget and everything we do, and we got to think about this all year. A lot of homeowners, unfortunately, miss out on that end of it if they don't speak with the right people, and all they're doing is picking on price.
Right, exactly. You know, when we address a project, we have to do it right the first time. You know, as I said, I do the maintenance side. I'm also responsible for the housekeeping side. And quite frankly, when we do something, we're probably not going to touch it again for at least 5 years, or at least that's our desire, just because of the flow of people and so on and so forth. And it's hard to put areas out of order to paint, redo, and set up scaffolding or whatever you need have to do in a certain area. So it's absolutely imperative that we look at these issues. We discuss with our managers. We get the manufacturer's cleaning instructions. We go with good paints. And as you said, the touch-ups, because there's nothing worse than to go out into a hallway or corridor or a room and think that this is going to touch up, and this is a 10-minute job, patch it, paint it, gone, and it doesn't happen. Now it means we're painting the whole room. And that's something that, you know, we staff to our levels of being right-sized with our staffing. We don't have an abundance of additional labor, and it's absolutely essential that we do it right, think about it, and get people involved, and make the project work properly, and hopefully everyone's happy when we're done, and the product or the project will last.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and having, you know, having good people for you on staff, I'm sure, is, you know, a big thing that you have to have and need, you know. And like I was just talking with one of my clients yesterday, and we're going to remodel two bathrooms in her house. And she said, you know, here at Mosby, we have a very large staff. We have a lot of production on staff. We do a lot of the industry ourselves, so we have licensed plumber on staff, licensed electrician. We've got tile guys. We've got guys that can do roofing. We've got, you know, whole exterior crews. We do the windows, doors. We have the staff that does all this. But like you were just talking about, if all of a sudden something takes too long, or like for our case, it's now we're getting almost too much work. Like we're getting a bunch of work. Well, we have trusted trade partners that we would use too on different jobs and in certain cases in order to get through it and have the right people and all that. And what I was trying to explain to her was, so what we don't want to do is be like, oh man, we got four extra bathrooms coming up. Let's hire a tile guy and I hope he's good.
Right.
And not have time to train him.
Right.
You know, set him loose in there. Maybe he is that good, maybe not. But then again, maybe we don't have enough work for him a month after that.
Right.
So now we just found a good guy and got to let him go. Or we didn't find a good guy and we got to redo his work anyways. And the project manager walks in, what are you doing? And we're pulling, you know, and it ends up taking longer anyhow. So bringing in, you know, some trade partners at times when you need them and to fill those gaps and voids and, you know, keep you moving on time, you know, is very, very important. So, you know, like I'm sure your guys, if they go in to do something like that, you need those good materials to work out because he's got something next on the list.
Right. There's projects, plenty of projects.
Yeah.
The building downtown's 100 some years old and there's not a place that doesn't need something done.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And yeah. Our staff's very busy. You had mentioned trade partners, and we also partner with people that are very reliable, trustworthy, and I can go to get advice and get guidance on different things. The guy that's going to be doing the outside of our building, he's a trusted trade partner. I don't want to give him a push, but you know, the fellow's absolutely outstanding. Our plumbers are outstanding. The things that are in our wheelhouse, we'll take care of in-house. Major plumbing, lining, drains, and so on and so forth, we do have trade partners for that. As we talked earlier, though, my staff is on housekeeping and maintenance side. They're absolutely excellent. They're hardworking, and they do a good job. They want to come out and do a good job every day for the members and the public that's going to be coming through our buildings.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody, you know, when we have had events and you know, things like that, obviously I haven't really been around, you know, when they're working on the room and stuff, but like when we've had events out at your guys' facilities and have been to events at the facilities, I'm telling you what, the cooks, the service, the people are so just attentive and nice and just, you know, help with everything and everything just run, you know, you guys have got some great people there.
We do.
And, you know, kind of another end of that business is, you know, how are you working and treating and what are you doing for these, you know, internal great people like Mosby, always thinking about our external clients and the people we have to do the work for and all of that. And, you know, you guys are constantly thinking about, well, what are our members going to see and how are they going to like the experience and are we doing the right, you know, physical fitness classes for them and all this stuff. But having a focus on your internal people also is what really helps keeping that focus on those external people.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah. We always do the right thing with our employees. And I believe that our employees are happy, and I believe that they have a service spirit about them and that they understand the piece of taking care of the members and taking care of external guests that come through. And it's a very aggressive hospitality mode that it's inbred in our employees. And it's similar to what I've seen with Mosby. I mean, I've had the opportunity to work with Mosby in different places. And, you know, your staff's are absolutely wonderful as well. They're very service-oriented. They're very attuned to what customers want, getting things done on time, and taking care of the client on time and on budget.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, focusing on your people. Like, we're hiring some people right now. We've got some ads out there, and they wanted to put out kind of like some statements and stuff from a lot of us employees and everything. And they literally sent out a thing to everybody, you know, a bunch of us they selected and said, you know, just tell us some of the things that keeps you working at Mosby. You know, Rich, why have you been here 18 years? What's so important? And, you know, so they're always looking at us for some of that insight and everything too, because they know that, you know, that team is extremely important. So, but we're going to get to our hard middle break here. If you want to get in on any of the conversation or have questions, give us a call, 314-241-9797. Stay tuned. My hack will be next. All right, we're back. Middle of the show. Get ready, everybody. I got my hack right up for you, and I want to kind of remind everybody that you can find every week all these hacks on my social media. You can get to a link on my Twitter, at Rich Orris. Or if you just find me on Facebook, Rich Orris Mosby, you get to my professional page. My hacks will be there. Sometime throughout next week, we'll have, you know, all the hacks are put in there in about the middle of the week, every week, so you can get back and get that information. Hopefully, it's great information for you. And if you want to weigh in on this hack, and I think a lot of people might, feel free to give me a call and let me know if there's anything that maybe you clean around your house that you think most people don't or miss or you just don't think about. Feel free. The lines are wide open to give us a shout, 314-241-9797. But right now, so, you know, nobody really loves cleaning their home, at least not many. And when you're cleaning, there's a lot of items that you just may miss. Or if you have a cleaning company or skip like your cleaning people that you have, I'm sure your cleaning crews focus on a lot of this stuff because you're trying to keep, you know, spreading bacteria right. And colds and different stuff. But there's a lot of things, you know, you have a cleaning service in a house. I don't think they're cleaning most of these items, and a lot of homeowners just don't even think about it. And there's one on the list towards the end here that I'm going to have Skip, and maybe Eric, you can weigh in with us too. And I want to know if any of us have ever done this, because it was a shocking one to me. But the things that you should clean that most people really don't think about or don't clean often enough. So the first thing on the list is your remote controls. You know, how many times a day does everybody in the house, you know, touch a remote control? So really, there was a study at the University of Virginia that found that, you know, when they tested remote controls, they all had cold viruses and all this stuff on them. And, you know, no one seems to clean those remote controls often enough. Gaming systems, and of course the controllers for gaming systems, you know, think about now your kids are touching all this stuff, you know, so kind of like getting colds at school. Think about all the things that your children, you know, touch. The space under your refrigerator and your refrigerator coils is a big thing that you should really clean at least twice a year, they say. And it'll really help the life of that refrigerator and the performance of it and cost less to run and all that if you do that. The ice maker is a big one. They were all the research showed that, you know, everybody's using the ice maker on a refrigerator, right? But who really gets the soap and the bubbles and the stuff all over this ice maker? And I'm thinking, man, I might have to ask my wife about that, because I don't know, you know.
Soapy bubbles.
This one surprised me. Another surprising one to me, too, was hairbrushes and combs. So they're saying just not pulling off the hair out of a brush is enough that you should actually, and this is from like a study from some dermatologists in New York City, that they say at least once a month you should completely remove all the hair from a brush or a comb and clean it and kind of like let it sit overnight at least once a month in cleaner and stuff and clean that brush. And I'm telling you what, I'm gambling there's not a lot of people doing that once a month.
Not at all.
Right? I mean, and that's not even the surprising one.
Thinking that's, yeah, that one probably is getting looked over a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So your HVAC, heating, cooling vents, think of anything the air's flowing through. You know, exhaust for the kitchen and bath, your cold air return covers, really keeping them clean is very important. Here's one that surprised me a little bit that I didn't think about too much either is light bulbs. So now, well, think light bulbs didn't last as long as they used to.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, some of these are lasting 12, 13, 20 years.
Right.
They'll collect dust and all this stuff, and they're saying it's time to actually start looking
wiping
at and
your,
wiping off your light bulbs to keep them clean.
And fortunately, a lot of the new ones aren't as hot as the old ones, so, well,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And it also reduces the light level that the bulb gives out, so it
exactly. So a big one on the list was bathroom decor, really cleaning that like once a month, getting all that decor, washing the towels and, you know, stuff that you hang for decoration. They found 452 types of bacteria per square inch in the bathroom and on the bathroom shelves.
Scary.
Yeah, isn't it? So your shower head is a big one, you know, cleaning that, and just all the bacteria and stuff that can kind of rain down on you while you're trying to clean yourself. They're, you know, clean that thing way more often. So light switches is obviously an important one, of being touched all the time and stuff. So Skip and Eric, here's the one I want to know if you've ever even thought of or done this. Okay. Your keys.
No.
When's the last time you took an antibacterial wipe and washed your keys?
You know, honest. So I have it's like almost like a tick with me, but whenever
really?
I'm sitting at my desk, I have these
we
wipes and I'll
the
sit
guy.
There. Yeah. But it's same, basically anything that's in my pockets, you know, same thing with these little headphones, you know, cause they just, I realized it's like after you're wearing them, I'm like, no, these never
see,
get
I did
clean.
The little headphone thing just like last
and the
week.
Key, especially the key fob. That's the part that I'll sit there and kind of work on, cause they get kind of junky after a while. Yeah. You
know? I can't say I've ever cleaned my keys or my key fob.
I live in a house with six children, so like remote controls, doorknobs, we're getting into flu season.
Yeah.
Where there's just, you got to start wiping stuff down. But the hairbrush thing especially, that's on my list now.
Exactly.
Right. Like, maybe I need to get one of those Barbasol containers and start dropping them in there.
Just drop them in there, yeah, like they do at the haircutting place. Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm guilty on the key thing. I was like, oh man, my key. I don't think I've ever cleaned my key.
You know, it got me thinking, though, about like my steering wheel. Because even when you clean the car, you're not using like a disinfectant wipe on it or something.
Yeah, no,
like
you're
that,
not.
You know?
Yeah. I just cleaned the car too. But yeah, it was just the you know, armor all.
Keyboards and mice. Thing. Every time I'm in this studio, I was actually, whenever I had to step out for 30 seconds earlier, I'm looking for the hand sanitizer. Where did it go? Because you're touching all these buttons in here.
Just for your hands. Oh, yeah. The keyboards.
Yeah.
So
now, you know, with the modern cars, though, with the key fobs that you don't have to use.
Sure.
It's nice.
Yeah, you probably touch them a lot less often if you have the fob. Yeah. I actually still have a key that I got to. I got to crank the thing in there, and you know, so every time I'm starting a car, I'm taking this key out and pushing it in. And,
I'm always driving older used cars, so whatever is the cool new technology, they'll see you in 10 years.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going home, and I'm cleaning my keys really well.
There you go.
It was a big surprise. So other things, and just kind of also on the list, like we talked about the pet stuff last week, pet toys was on that list, yoga mats, dish drying racks, if you have like a dish drying rack. You really should clean that. You know, everything's dripping off and drying off of it. Curtains. Toothbrush holder.
Sure.
Not just changing your toothbrush, but the holder that it's in. Reusable grocery bags, washing them and, you know, cleaning them. Because think about it, we're trying to save and not use plastic, and we're reusing stuff over and over again. Your hands on the handles, you're putting stuff in there. Your coffee maker is a big one on there. And another one that I think people probably focus on more now with newer washers and dryers is actually the washing machine, you know, because they're so high efficient now. They have, you know, cleaning systems and stuff, but they're saying actually washing your machine, put like some vinegar in with the wash, put no clothes or nothing, just run like a big load with some vinegar and stuff in there on the hottest setting and kind of wash that washing machine.
Right.
Everything that's running through it.
Similar to your Whirlpool bath, cleaning it every once in a while because the jets block up, well, not block up, but they gunk up.
Oh, yeah. Everything runs through there. And
take filters.
Yeah. And that's why they've went on most of them to the air jets now.
Right.
That, you know, creates the bubbles, does all the stuff, feels just about, you know, probably better than the actual jets did in those tubs that can, you know, get all recycled and gunky in there. And
that's, you know, you're talking about washing things that you use, you know, like the drying rack at your sink, you know, washing the sink.
Yeah.
People, you know, like that step gets skipped sometimes. And it's like that your sink can have as much bacteria as a bathroom by the time you're done cleaning everything. And if you don't get to that, you know, at least a couple times a week, it can make a big difference.
Clean your garbage disposal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. So a lot of great things. So, hey, if you're out there, you have some cleaning tips, if you have something that you do that you think's important, hey, feel free to weigh in on this. Give us a call and let us know what that item is. Got any questions for us? Give us a call on that too. 314-241-9797. And we're going to get into some more of this when we get back. All right, we're back. Final segment. If you have anything for us, feel free to give us a shout. If you're far away, 866-455-9797 or right in the backyard, 314-241-9797. I wouldn't mind hearing some of that cleaning stuff. If anybody has an idea, or if you're, you know, you clean houses for a living and there's something that you do specifically to help people, any ideas like that I think is great for everybody. And that sort of thing. So maybe they'll start cleaning their clients' keys before they leave for work. You know, but let me see your keys real quick. Kind of fix that up for you. But in you know, thinking about all these things that we have to do, and I love the old building kind of scenario, and we do a lot with plaster and, you know, stuff like that, and. I would have to imagine, Skip, it's not nearly to the magnitude that you guys do, but like I had one, I had a house in Kirkwood right by us. Well, actually, I think it was Glendale, but on the border. And we put an elevator in it, and there was some plaster crown molding in the room that this elevator shaft was running through.
Right.
And we actually had a pretty extensive conversation with the client and with the plaster company that we brought in to do this plaster crown, because it wasn't in mint condition anywhere in the room. Mm-hmm. And the thought was, we don't want it in mint condition around this elevator.
Right.
You know, we want it to literally look like it's been in this house for, you know, 102 years.
Really?
You know, yeah. So they're, you know, if you all of a sudden put this brand new crown that, you know, and it's all perfect, and on the other side of the room, there's some little, you can see the seams, and it's a little crooked, and there's different things. So we literally, fold it to be like, no, this is just like the rest of it. It's been in the house forever, and it looks absolutely fabulous. But I'm sure in your downtown facility, you've got materials from other countries. You've got the masons, the marbles, the stuff, and
exactly
getting in and out of stuff.
Exactly,
touch on some of that stuff, how you deal with it, or what you got to do and go through.
Well, as you know, the downtown property has been designated as a historic place, both by the state as well as nationally. So anytime we approach some of these areas, we have to take in consideration what has gone on in this room over the last 100 years. And a lot of technology has changed. Back in the day, of course, they used different types of paints that we wouldn't use now, and so on and so forth. Different paints, different insulators, so on and so forth. And they potentially could be hazardous, so we have to take precautions on that. So one thing where we can, we encapsulate in place, which means in some cases we cover over. But where we have to remediate, of course we do that. One thing, I like what you said about that crown mold. We just did a project up in our ballroom probably about 3 years ago, and we were modernizing it with speakers and screens and so on and so forth. Prior to modernization of that, we'd have to have a staff of AV people putting up screens and putting in speakers and so on and so forth. So we made a conscious effort to, you know, put in some amenities that the clients would want to make the room more useful. And after the screens were installed, there were these 20-foot bars at the top of the ceiling in three places in the room, and it just did not fit the room. It took away from the aesthetics of it. So
yeah,
we contacted our decorator and said, we want to faux that.
Yeah.
I want that to look just like the drapes, because it extended each side of the drapes. I want it to look like the drapes. I want it to look like the shears.
Yeah.
I don't want to see those screens. And we faux'd all three of them. And I could probably take both you guys down there, and if I wouldn't have mentioned that to you, you would have never saw them, because we painstakingly fold these screens in. But this is a type of detail that apparently you do, and apparently we look at when we touch our buildings. And, you know, it's getting back to taking it to where the room needs to be. And I, by the way, I do like that idea of just stressing the crown mold, because, you know, that makes sense as well.
Yeah.
I want something that looked like it's 100 years old instead of brand new plaster.
Yeah.
Which I think that's thinking out of the box. That's not, you know, a lot of guys would just, we're going to put up new crown mold and walk away and call it done. No.
Yeah. Well, and that too is, you know, kind of like you said, you've been kind of doing this sort of stuff for like 40 years.
Not this stuff.
Okay.
So but I've been in the business for 40 years.
Yeah. Okay. So just experience of, you know, when you've been doing something so long, I mean, Mosby's, you know, was Scott's dad. Scott took it over. We've been in business since 1947.
Right.
I've been doing this 30 years. He has a lot of people. I've been with Mosby 18. I've learned a lot, and I've seen a lot, and it's truly learning from your mistakes. And it's saying, you know, yeah, we're going to put plaster crown. And then you get it in, and it happens, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, we don't want to ever do that again. You know, we've done it wrong enough in the years past and had to redo it.
Right.
It's kind of like those homeowners, don't build something twice. Well, for me and for you and for all these companies out there, obviously building something twice just kills your job, kills
sure.
your,
credibility,
profit,
everything,
all that stuff. So yeah, learning from your mistakes, thinking about it, keeping people around, and really, you know, having processes to have it in is kind of what we do at Mosby in order to think through things like that and to kind of, you know, it's like a history class. Don't forget history because it repeats itself
right.
If you do, you know, and that's why we should, you know, learn about history and understand and be like, well, don't do that again. That's really what we're doing is, you know, so just getting through stuff like that is, you know, very, very important to our clients, but treating our people right and having the processes gets us to be able to do that. And another thing that we do at Mosby very well that I'm going to guess you are, you guys really have to do very well, because if we're in a home, we're dealing with 2, 3, 4 people, maybe 6. They got a lot of kids. So protections of the home and guiding them around and, you know, putting up barriers or plastic zip walls, contain the dust, right. Things like that. Well, you're about to, like, you know, work on the outside of a building for like 6 months with scaffolding and all this stuff. I can't imagine what you have to go through to protect basically the general public.
Exactly right. Yeah, well, first we have to permit that all.
Yeah.
We have to come up with engineered drawings on what the scaffolding is going to look like. We have to, you know, in some cases probably shut down the street to divert people to the other side, because the last thing we want to do is hurt any of the public or our members or our employees. So, you know, painstakingly, we're going to do what we have to do to keep that all tied up and safe for everybody.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we're in our final minute here, but I got to tell you, I love the old building stuff. Skip, I really love having you with us today. Thought it was a great conversation and a lot of similarities here. What I've been talking about a lot with the MAC is just the business model similarities, you know, what Mosby does and what the MAC does and how they model everything is just, you know, it's in tune, I think, very much so. And that's why I think we make very good partners.
I agree.
At this and at all the events and the different things that we do. So I want to thank you again for coming on and want to let everybody else out there know, stay tuned for Facilas all around the yard. Be good to everybody during the week, and I will talk to everybody next weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Had a house in Kirkwood right by us. Well, actually, I think it was Glendale, but on the border, and we put an elevator in it, and there was some plaster crown molding in the room that this elevator shaft was running through.
Right.
And we actually had a pretty extensive conversation with the client and with the plaster company that we brought in to do this plaster crown, because it wasn't in mint condition anywhere in the room. Mm-hmm. And the thought was, we don't want it in mint condition around this elevator.
Right.
You know, we want it to literally look like it's been in this house for, you know, 102 years.
Really?
You know, yeah. So they're, you know, if you all of a sudden put this brand new crown that, you know, and it's all perfect, and on the other side of the room, there's some little, you can see the seams and it's a little crooked and there's different things. So we literally,
fold it
to be like, no, this is just like the rest of it. It's been in the house forever and it looks absolutely fabulous. But I'm sure in your downtown facility, you've got materials from other countries. You've got the masons, the marbles, the stuff, and
exactly
getting in
right.
and out of stuff.
Exactly
you know,
right.
Touch on some of that stuff, how you deal with it or what you got to do and go through.
Well, as you know, the downtown property has been designated as a historic place both by the state as well as nationally. So anytime we approach some of these areas, we have to take in consideration what has gone on in this room over the last 100 years. And a lot of technology has changed. Back in the day, of course, they used different types of paints that we wouldn't use now, and so on and so forth. Different paints, different insulators, so on and so forth. And they potentially could be hazardous, so we have to take precautions on that. So one thing where we can, we encapsulate in place, which means in some cases we cover over. But where we have to remediate, of course we do that. One thing I'd like what you said about that crown mold. We just did a project up in our ballroom probably about 3 years ago, and we were modernizing it with speakers and screens and so on and so forth. Prior to modernization of that, we'd have to have a staff of AV people putting up screens and putting in speakers and so on and so forth. So we made a conscious effort to, you know, put in some amenities that the clients would want to make the room more useful. And after the screens were installed, there were these 20-foot bars at the top of the ceiling in three places in the room, and it just did not fit the room. It took away from the aesthetics of it. So we contacted our decorator and said, we want to faux that. Yeah. I want that to look just like the drapes, because it extended each side of the drapes. I want it to look like the drapes. I want it to look like the shears. Yeah. I don't want to see those screens. And we faux'd all three of them. And I could probably take both you guys down there, and if I wouldn't have mentioned that to you, you would have never saw them, because we painstakingly faux'd these screens in. But this is a type of detail that apparently you do, and apparently we look at when we touch our buildings. And, you know, it's getting back to taking it to where the room needs to be. And I, by the way, I do like that idea of just stressing the crown mold, because, you know, that makes sense as well. Yeah. I want something that looked like it's 100 years old instead of brand new plaster.
Yeah.
Which I think that's thinking out of the box. That's not, you know, a lot of guys would just, we're going to put up new crown mold and walk away and call it done. No.
Yeah. Well, and that too is, you know, kind of like you said, you've been kind of doing this sort of stuff for like 40 years.
Not this stuff.
Okay.
So but I've been in the business for 40 years.
Yeah. Okay. So just experience of, you know, when you've been doing something so long. I mean, Mosby's, you know, was Scott's dad. Scott took it over. We've been in business since 1947.
Right.
I've been doing this 30 years. He has a lot of people. I've been with Mosby 18. I've learned a lot and I've seen a lot, and it's truly learning from your mistakes. And it's saying, you know, yeah, we're going to put plaster crown. And then you get it in and it happens and you're like, okay, well, yeah, we don't want to ever do that again. You know, we've done it wrong enough in the years past and had to redo it.
Right.
It's kind of like those homeowners, don't build something twice. Well, for me and for you and for all these companies out there, obviously building something twice just kills your job, kills your
credibility, profit, everything, credit,
all that stuff. So yeah, learning from your mistakes, thinking about it, keeping people around, and really, you know, having processes to have it in is kind of what we do at Mosby in order to think through things like that and to kind of, you know, it's like a history class. Don't forget history, because it repeats itself
right.
If you do, you know, and that's why we should, you know, learn about history and understand and be like, well, don't do that again. That's really what we're doing is, you know, so just getting through stuff like that is, you know, very, very important to our clients, but treating our people right and having the processes gets us to be able to do that. And another thing that we do at Mosby very well, that I'm going to guess you are, you guys really have to do very well, because if we're in a home, we're dealing with 2, 3, 4 people, maybe 6, they got a lot of kids. So protections of the home and guiding them around and, you know, putting up barriers or plastic zip walls, contain the dust,
right,
things like that. Well, you're about to, like, you know, work on the outside of a building for like 6 months with scaffolding and all this stuff. I can't imagine what you have to go through to protect basically the general public.
Exactly right. Yeah. Well, first we have to permit that all.
Yeah.
We have to come up with engineered drawings on what the scaffolding is going to look like. We have to, you know, in some cases probably shut down the street to divert people to the other side, because the last thing we want to do is hurt any of the public or our members or our employees. So, you know, painstakingly, we're going to do what we have to do to keep that all tied up and safe for everybody.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we're in our final minute here, but I got to tell you, I love the old building stuff. Skip, I really love having you with us today. Thought it was a great conversation and a lot of similarities here. What I've been talking about a lot with the MAC is just the business model similarities, you know, what Mosby does and what the MAC does and how they model everything is just, you know, it's in tune, I think, very much so. And that's why I think we make very good partners.
I agree.
At this and at all the events and the different things that we do. So I want to thank you again for coming on and want to let everybody else out there know, stay tuned for Priscilla's all around the yard. Be good to everybody during the week, and I will talk to everybody next weekend.
Get more at 971talk.com.